Backseat Box Office episode number 165 for the weekend of November 15th through November 17th, 2013.
Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And you are listening to Backseat Box Office. Oh, I guess I forgot we are the Backseat Producers, and you're listening to Backseat Box Office. How you doing, Art?
I'm doing very well.
So how'd the, what did you think of the box office last week? Was that surprising at all?
Only how hard one of the movies that I put a little higher fell. But other than that, it lined up pretty well.
Okay, well, let's talk about how the box office did last week. At number one, surprising no one, Thor: The Dark World from Buena Vista opened at number one with a gross of $85.7 million in 3,841 theaters. At number two, Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa from Paramount held at number two with a gross of $11.3 million in 3,187 theaters. At number three, Free Birds from Relativity rose from number four to number three with a gross of $11.1 million in 3,736 theaters. Las Vegas came in at number four from CBS Films, fell from number three to number four with a gross of $11 million in 3,082 theaters. And at number five, we have Ender's Game from Lionsgate. It fell from number one to number five with a gross of $10.3 million. And let's see, we got to cover it. At number six, we have Gravity from Warner Brothers fell from number five to number six with a gross of $8.5 million in 2,720 theaters. At number seven, 12 Years a Slave from Fox Searchlight held at number seven with a gross of $6.7 million in 1,144 theaters. And About Time at number nine from Universal rose from 13 to 9 with a gross of $4.8 million in 1,200 theaters.
I think one of the most interesting things about that was the, like, just over $1 million spread between number two and number five. I don't think I've ever seen them that closely packed together.
Yeah. It's, as, you know, as we're getting close to, you know, Thanksgiving, we're going to have a long weekend, and, you know, I don't know if Veterans Day had any impact on this weekend, but, it's close. It's close out there. So, why don't we talk about how our participants did?
Let's. Okay. Well, we didn't have any 25s this week. The best we had was a 21 coming in from Cougaron. Cougaron got Thor right in first place, Bad Grandpa right in second place. He put Ender's Game in third, costing him 2 points. He got Las Vegas right in fourth spot, and Freebirds in fifth, costing him another 2 points for a total of 21 points. Next, we have Tad with a voicemail.
Hey, this is Tad calling with my picture this week. Sorry about missing last week. I just, you know, that just got busy, I guess. Anyway, so it kind of actually worked out what I'm going to do this week. So I'm going to go ahead and give you my picks. And number one, of course, I have Thor. And then I'm going to go Ender's Game at number two, Jackass, Bad Grandpa at number three, and then I'm going to go Las Vegas at number four, and Gravity at number five. I think Thor is just going to kind of push everything down. I think Freebirds is going to drop off quite a bit more than Gravity. I think Gravity is going to still stay in that fifth spot. If not, I think it's probably just going to go to six or so. So I think I should probably be okay with that pick. Lane, I hope you're feeling better, and thanks for the show, guys. All right, bye-bye.
And that was Tad's voicemail. Just to go back over that, he got Thor right in the first place. He put Ender's Game in second, costing him 3 points. Bad Grandpa in third place, costing him 1 point. Las Vegas in the correct slot, and Gravity in fifth place, costing another point for a total of 20 points. Now we have Nick with another voicemail.
Hi, this is Nick. Number one, Thor. Two, Ender's Game. Three, Jackass. Four, Las Vegas. And five, Freebirds. Thanks, guys.
and that was Nick. He also got Thor right in first place, Ender's Game in second, costing him 3 points, Bad Grandpa in third, costing him a point, Las Vegas in fourth place, costing him no points, and Free Birds in fifth place, costing him 2 points for a total of 19. I also got a 19. My picks were the same as Nick's, with the exception that I flip-flopped Freebirds and Las Vegas in fourth and fifth place. Now things get really brutal. You and Mrs. Beast had the exact same picks. So why don't you tell me what you picked, Jeff?
First off, I want to say that I am honorarily a member of the Beast family because we are all three of us, Mrs. Beast and myself and Father Beast, all got screwed by About Time. So we, myself and Mrs. Beast had Thor at number one, which we got right. I had Ender's Game at three, which came in at five, so we each lost 3 points there. We had About Time at three, but it came in at nine, so we lost a big 6 points there. We were off two by Bad Grandpa. We had it coming in at fourth, and it came in at second. And we had Last of Vegas in the fifth spot, and it came in at fourth, so we lost 1 point there. So we both had a lucky 13.
Yes, and Father Beast came in with a 12. He did pretty much the exact same thing, but instead of putting Las Vegas in the fifth spot, he put 12 Years a Slave in the fifth spot. And I think to say that you all got screwed by About Time, I think that's a bit of an overstatement. I think you all screwed yourselves by picking About Time. I mean, it's not like it was a movie lower on the list that you were looking to make a big jump up. It just didn't jump up as much as you thought it would.
Yeah. In retrospect, I thought it might be on more theaters, not just the 1,200, which kind of you know, which it's a romantic comedy, and I didn't see a lot of those kind of movies. So yeah, we took a shot, and we we got a bit hard on that one.
Yeah.
So let's go to Art's House and let's talk about the independent movies. So we had three entries last week. We had myself. I had The Starving Games, which reported absolutely zero. So obviously, you know, spoiler alert, I'm not going to win this week. Next, we had The Armstrong Lie, which is the movie about the documentary about Lance Armstrong. That came in with, as I scroll, $5,798. And not really surprising at all. The Book Thief, getting some Oscar buzz, and I guess it's about books during the Holocaust or something like that. $26,251. So good on you, Father Beast. Right now, I'm wishing that you picked Starving Games so we would be, you know, big fat donut brothers, but apparently that's not how it worked out. And we did not have a pick from Lena, and we're sorry about that, but I guess life is getting it in the way. So, and that happens every once in a while. So, enough about last week's picks. Here are the standings. Even though she didn't pick, Lena has 3 points. And we have four people that have 2 points. Myself, Art, Father Beast, and BD. So, still anybody's race.
Absolutely. Okay.
So let's talk about the leaderboard for this season so far.
The big board. Let's take it to the big board. All right. Well, we had a little bit of a change-up. So the new number one is Kuran, with a total of 21.8 points. Very close on their heels is Nick in second with an average of 21.667 points. Boy, she really does a lot of math on this, doesn't she?
Yes. Round off, please. Okay, go
yes. ahead. tied for third are BD and Tad with 21.5 points. Right behind that is me in fifth with 21.4 points. A full point behind me in sixth is you, Jeff, at 20.4 points. And at seventh, we have Lena with 20.25 points. In at 8th, we have Mrs. Beast at 17.4 points. And at 9th, we have Father Beast with 16.4 points.
All right. Well, yeah, it looks like I will be permanently out of the top 5 for a while. So, yeah. There's a good thing we shorten the seasons. Okay. We have one movie in coming out in wide release.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about The Best Man Holiday. 63% on the tomato meter, out of 46 reviews, 29 fresh, 17 rotten. 90% of the users of Rotten Tomatoes want to see it, and that's 15,089 people who felt like they want to let us know that they want to see it. Okay, so here's the description. After nearly 15 years apart, Taye Diggs, Television's Private Practice, Nia Long from Soul Food, Morris Chestnut from Kick-Ass 2, Harold Perrineau from Zero Dark Thirty or Lost, Terrence Howard from Hustle and Flow, Sanaa Lathan from Contagion, Monica Calhoun, Love and Basketball, Melissa D'Souza, Miss Congeniality, and Regina Hall, Scary Movie Franchise, reprise their career-launching roles in The Best Man Holiday. Did they say career-launching? Okay. The long-awaited next chapter to the film that ushered, no pun intended, it in a new era of comedy. That would be funny if Usher was actually in it. When the college friends finally reunite over the Christmas holidays, they will discover just how easy it is for long-forgotten rivalries and romances to be ignited. Malcolm D. Lee returns to write and direct this sequel to his directorial... Here's Jeff not being able to talk. Directorial debut. Sean Daniel, the Mummy franchise, will produce along Lee for the Sean Daniel Company. Rated R, and this extremely rare film that is exactly 2 hours. So I'm not saying that you should see it just for that little tidbit, but yeah. So yeah, this will be a rental for me.
And I think that's, come on, really? This is going to be a, if you happen to catch it on TV, maybe you might watch it.
Yeah, you know, even Christmas Vacation didn't say like holiday. I still don't understand what the Best Man Holiday. Do they get off of work because they're best man?
they're all best men and they go to hang out, you know, and so they're having a holiday because they take some time off together.
Hmm. Yeah, good luck with that. Some tidbits or some reviews that you see at the, or you might want to call them balloon reviews at the bottom of Rotten Tomatoes. Kyle Smith from the New York Post, the mix of raunchy sex comedy and Christian faith doesn't quite come off. Anyone else that we're interested in?
Linda Carter.
Yes, Wonder Woman. Interesting.
John Michael Higgins.
There's a lot of people. I thought I read everybody, but I only read like 25% of them.
You know, they threw a lot of people into that description. I think that's one of the more people-heavy descriptions we've read in a while.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
I've not heard anything about this movie. I have not seen a single trailer, ad, nothing. I saw it come up on the thing, and I'm like, what is this? I dug into it a little bit. It's coming out of nowhere.
Seen some commercials, also some TV viewing during the lunch hour at work. Occasionally we'll have The Chew on, okay. And they had Nia Long on, and, you know, she did a quick little interview.
Right.
Kind of thing, so, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And that's all that we have for what's in wide release.
All righty.
So now we get to picking time.
Now we get to picking, and I'm picking first again.
Again. I'm gonna have to get used to this, I guess.
You have to do something.
Point ahead of me. Oh, I did something all right, but that's how I got here.
All right. Well, I am ready to make my picks. I am going to keep Thor at number one. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I am going to go with The Best Man Holiday at number two. I really don't see this being a number two movie, but with it being the only thing out there, and everything else dropping like flies and going to be coming in at, you know, less than $10 million, I think this can do $10 million. I'm going to go with Free Birds at number three because that is the only kids movie out there, so I think it's going to hold right where it's at. I think it's going to fall a little bit slower than everything else. I'm going to go with Las Vegas at number four.
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
I know.
One more for the ditto.
And Jackass Bad Grandpa at number five.
And your arts house pick?
And for my arts house pick that I totally forgot about, let's go with none of these look any good. The Christmas Candle. 'Tis the season.
All right. Well, Art, you made my job easier because I'm going to ditto Art. You read the exact list that I had written down. And for my arts house pick, I'm going to go with Nebraska. It's 89% on the tomato meter. And it's from the same director who did Sideways and some other movies as soon as it comes up. Director is Alexander Payne. It also has Bruce Dern is also in it. He also directed The Descendants.
Hmm. Okay.
About Schmidt. Election, if you ever seen Election.
I've seen Election.
Yeah, so he, so that's going to be my pick for the indie movies.
Okay. I have never seen Sideways.
Sideways is a great movie. It's very affecting. That's all I can really say.
Yeah, I want
I don't want Thomas Hayden Church and Paul Giamatti are great.
Yeah, no, I've heard nothing but good things about it.
And, you know, you got to respect these smaller movies that they only have, like, three or four people in it. Be able to tell a story with, you know. And if you like wine, you'll definitely like it, too.
Right. I ain't drinking no fucking Merlot.
Wow. Look who came out of art. Okay. That was oddly specific, so thank you. So, I believe that concludes the business portion of Backseat Box Office, unless I cut you off.
No. I was going to say, isn't that a line in the movie?
I'm sorry?
I said, isn't that a line in the movie? That's why I said it.
It's been a while since I've seen it, so I will have to watch it again.
You're blanking, yeah. So.
But I think...
There's a line where Paul Giamatti is losing his shit about having to go drink some wine. He's like, I ain't drinking no fucking Merlot.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to remember which time he lost his shit. But anyways.
Paul Giamatti, right. Okay, yes. Moving on.
Okay, so, Art, have you watched anything since we last talked?
Dark World, sir.
Oh, so, okay. All right, so lay it on me. How was it?
I really enjoyed it. I liked it better than the first one.
Really? Okay.
And I liked it better. I just got a better feel off of it. Thor has always been one of the weaker ones in my opinion, as far as the entire franchise goes. I haven't really thought about it, wrote them all down, decided which order I would put them in. I have enjoyed them all. I pick them all up as they're coming out. But I've always thought that was a bit of the, at least, you know, the first Thor was a little more on the weaker end of the franchise. So I thought this one was a little bit of a step up from the first movie. I really enjoyed it. I really, I don't want to say too much because it sounds like you haven't seen it yet.
No, we kind of had Thoris interrupt us on Monday.
I hear you.
So we, my son is concerned that it's scary, so he wants me to watch it first and get the okay for me before he goes see it.
No, I would really say probably not.
Okay.
It's very action-y. The one character, I don't really think he's that scary at all. The main kind of bad guy. It's got some good funny moments and it's not overly. I'm trying to think. There is this one character who kind of grabs people by the throat and kind of they kind of self-immolate a little.
Okay.
And that's a little strong, but there's nothing really like muddy or really scary or too dark. I would say this one's probably okay. He's 10, right?
Yeah.
Did you lose me?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So he's 10, yeah. Right?
Yeah, he's 10. I don't think he's going to be scared, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But I think this one's going to be a thumbs up. I think it's going to be okay.
Okay, good. Any other movies?
I saw, two other ones. These are both kid-related. I rewatched 101 Dalmatians, the live action with Glenn Close and Jeff Daniels and Hugh Laurie House.
Wow.
Yes, as one of the villains. And still enjoyable, still Glenn Close's performance is over the top, and yet it's right on target. I enjoyed it. Aubrey sat and watched it and thoroughly enjoyed it because it had, you know, lots and lots of dogs. I think it held up pretty well considering how long it's been. And then I watched a movie we borrowed it from the library. And it is called Space Dogs. And it is from a distribution company called Four Films. And it's a completely, you know, computer animated movie. And I am guessing, by all the names that are used and by the actual, where it's set, and everything that's written, that this is a Russian import that has been translated into English. And it is called Space Dogs.
Really?
It is a... everything that is written on the screen is in Cyrillic, okay? 90% of the people who worked on the movie have Russian-looking names or, you know, Eastern Bloc, that whole, in that area. And the lip syncing is just, it's bad. It's horrible. And the animation, there's something about it. I mean, it looks good. It looks like it's, you know, modern day animation, but there's something just a little kind of blocky, chunky off about it that makes it like, it's modern day technology, but they're kind of like two steps behind, you know, what Hollywood is doing. It's very hard to describe. And it's the story of the Russian space program where they sent the two dogs into space. But it's told from the point of view of the dogs and, you know, the talking dogs, and they go on all these madcap adventures, and it's really bizarre. I mean, and that's not even the most bizarre thing about it. Because the most bizarre thing about it is the trailers for the other movies from this film studio. Two are kind of normal. One is for their own version of Puss in Boots, and I don't know what the other one was. But the third one is the real winner in the bunch that I have got to track down this movie. And it's called Disco Worms. And
sure, why not?
It is about earthworms in the earth. Okay, and you know, their job is, you know, digging through the earth, and they're like actual worms. There's not arms, they're just, you know, they have some clothes, they're wiggling around. And this worm wants to express himself at the company, because they work for a company, obviously, not just digging through the earth, but they work for a company. They're like little drones in the company doing the little digging and working in their little cubicles and whatever. It's totally bizarre. But every year they have some type of talent show, competition, whatever, and for some reason one worm decides he wants to do disco. And disco starts breaking out. It's like this disco revolution that he's starting, and the company is trying to stomp it out. And this premise, this is just too amazing not to go find and see. Which brings me to how did this get made?
Okay, very good.
So I have been devouring How Did This Get Made voraciously. There are, I think, like 76 episodes currently since last week and today. And I didn't even start. I started, I think, on Friday. I think I started listening to him on Friday. I've burned through about 40 episodes, and this show is absolutely amazing. I have literally found myself laughing out loud at work constantly. I mean, just constantly. The show is hilarious. The guests they have on are great. The movies they pick, I've got to go find some of these movies. I mean, there are some real winners in there. And thank you very much for turning me on to this show. I am falling behind on all my other podcasts because I am just listening one right after the other, right after the other.
Now, have you gotten to the Wild Wild West episode?
Oh, yeah. I got to the Wild Wild West episode. That was with Kevin Smith, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the Superman story?
Yeah, Superman story was great.
Yeah. Even though that same story, I think, was on those videos that Kevin Smith created of those Q&As. I think he tells that same story on the Q&A.
I haven't watched any of those. I do want to. I just haven't gotten around to any of those.
I haven't watched them either, but I do remember I heard that story from How Did This Get Made? So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty it is very awesome. Some of the movies that it's pretty good. I've got to go track down the NSYNC movie. hilarious.
They do a really good job, and it's a fun listen.
Yes. The one with Danny Trejo, that guy is awesome. And how he got into the business is just awesome.
I've only listened to a handful of How Did This Get Made, so I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, you've got to go check out the Danny Trejo episode. I forget which movie they were covering.
Probably, but
it wasn't one of his. I don't remember which one it was, but or they might have just been talking to him. They might have just interviewed him on an extended mini episode. Mm-hmm. But they've got an episode with Danny Trejo, and it's really good. And he is incredibly down to earth, considering you know, how much work he does. And it's hilarious because at one point they're looking at his IMDb credits, and he's got like 288 credits to his name.
Wow.
Yeah, and come to find out, he does like, they didn't explain how this is set up, but he does student films. And I don't know if there's some, because he says he just shows up. Like they make it sound like there's some type of cue for actors who want to work with student filmmakers. And, you know, they pay like $100 and somebody who's willing to give their time goes out and shows up to work on their film with them. And so, surprise, Danny Trejo showed up, you know, and they're usually expecting somebody a lot more, like, kind of small time. And he says there always seems to be a little blown away when he shows up. But that's why he's got so many credits, because he does, like two or three a month, he was saying. It's crazy. He's out there all constantly, and he does it because he's just trying to give back, you know, because of how he talks about how he got his start. It was totally, he was involved with a program helping people to stay off drugs, you know, and they called him up and said, hey, I'm having some trouble, you know, I'm at work and there's, you know, there's a lot of coke, you know, around, and it's a real struggle. And he's like, this was back in the 80s in Hollywood, and he's like, coke was everywhere. And so he shows up, you know, to this warehouse, you know, somewhere in a back lot in Hollywood, thinking he's just, you know, some guy's doing some warehouse work, whatever, and they're shooting a film there. So he's hanging out, and then he gets approached by somebody who's like, hey, do you want to work as an extra? You know, and that's how he got his start. Somebody saw him because he was out trying to help somebody who was working on the film not do any drugs. And so it's just this incredible story. He talks about, I don't know, you've got to listen to it. It's incredible. It's one of the best episodes they've done. I mean, it's not funny, just for how much you dig into this guy's life and what he thinks about, you know, Hollywood and everything. So, but yeah, I've been really enjoying it.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're enjoying this.
Yourself, did you get any watched?
I finished watching. Well, Sunday I saw two movies. I took the kids to go see Freebirds.
Okay.
It was a decent movie. My brain kind of got in the way a little bit just because of time traveling turkeys.
Right.
I mean, it seemed like every 5 minutes Owen Wilson was screaming.
Okay. I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. Some people might see this as a spoiler, so they might want to skip ahead a little bit.
Okay.
But it's a time travel movie. So my understanding, it's going to go one of two ways, and this is really the only thing I want to know. Is it they travel back in time, and either they are A, unable to change the past because it has already happened, or B, by going back to the past, they thereby cause it to be the way that it is. So which of those two statements is true?
There is no mention of timeline.
Okay, but they're trying to – the premise set up by trailer, so correct me if I'm wrong, but the premise set by the trailer is that they are going back in time to try and keep turkey from becoming your regular Thanksgiving meal.
That's correct.
That is correct. Okay. So they don't resolve whether or not they accomplish that goal or
– Well, let me say this, and maybe this will be more clear, that changing Thanksgiving has absolutely no long-term effects on the – so they didn't create a new future.
Okay.
That everything's cool.
Okay.
So they accomplished their goal, and everybody's happy at the end of the movie.
Okay, they accomplished their goal, everybody's happy at the ending, but we still eat turkey for Thanksgiving.
No.
Okay.
Well, see, the movie ends once they accomplish their goal. So there is no showing present day. At least I don't. Okay, let me.
Okay, so they don't go back to the present.
True confession. I fell asleep through part of this movie. Not for a long time. but the end point of the movie is still a little foggy for me.
That's fine.
There is one hook that would make this movie attractive for adults, and that the time travel machine is kind of a overblown Siri that's voiced by George Takei.
Nice.
And it's awesome.
Okay.
I think it's mostly a rental. Yes. One thing I didn't realize until, even though I probably read the words, but I didn't comprehend it, was that Scott Mosier was a co-writer on this movie.
Okay.
You know, co-host of the Smodcast, been a producer or had a credit in almost all of Kevin Smith's films.
Yeah.
And he's kind of branching out a little bit. And I think that same director did this movie, did Jonah Hex. So that's something. So, you know, it's decent, mindless fun.
Right.
I did see a trailer for Frozen. Frozen looks very good. There's also another animated film, The Nut Job, about, it's kind of like an Ocean's 11 heist movie with squirrels trying to break into a nut store.
Okay.
With Will Arnett being the, I guess, the leader. So that looks a little enticing. And then a longer trailer for the Lego movie. Oh, my God. This is, there's a lot of big voice talent in this movie. It looks like it's going to be all over the place, but it still looks like it's going to be hella funny. All right. So going from kids movie to an adult movie, and not that kind of adult movie, I finished Much Ado About Nothing.
Ah, okay.
It is a, I'm going to say, a very nice film. I don't know if it deserved to win any awards. I think everyone did a great job. As always, Fillion is fantastic in the end, and he's not in it enough. But I usually say that about all the movies that he's in, with the exception of Serenity. But to me, the hidden star of this movie is Joss's house.
Nice.
Sometimes, if you're just curious about Joss's house, this is a great movie to say, hey, I want to see where his living room is. I want to see the room where he drinks tea. You're going to see all that in Much Ado About Nothing. So if you're someone who's a fan of the Whedonverse, you're probably going to know everyone that's in this movie. And I'm not a Shakespeare fan, but I might need to, you know, experience more Shakespeare movies. And then one more movie that I watched, and it aired on the Hallmark Channel. It is called Jack's Christmas. And Jack's Christmas stars the kid from Diary of a Wimpy Kid. And the only people that you're going to know are him, and Bruce Dern plays the crusty old grandfather. And it's basically, what if they did Groundhog Day on Christmas Day? It's a nice, light family movie, but we enjoyed it. We probably knew it was going to happen, but and I think it was the premiere of it. It's not one that they rerun, but we enjoyed it. We enjoyed it.
Okay.
All right. So if we are done talking about movies and or TV shows and or podcasts, let's talk about news.
All righty. Well, I've only got one thing that I wanted to mention. I thought this looked really interesting. Key and Peele team up with Judd Apatow for Universal Comedy.
Now, I was going to mention this, but I think after the show last week, we talked about Key and Peele.
Yes, that's why I'm bringing it up.
That for people wondering why we're talking about Key and Peele.
I think that was after we were done recording. So, just based on that one video that we watched alone, has me very interested in this.
What's funny is they were on over the weekend, and I just saw one skit.
Okay.
And oh my god, it's funny how the simplest premises still can be very funny. So two guys sit down, and one guy starts talking to the other guy. And the other guy says, "Hey, man, stop pulling my dick." He's like, "What?" "Yeah, man, I said stop pulling my dick." "Why are you saying pulling my dick?" Because you're trying to make me believe something that isn't true. He's like, all right, hold on, just a second. Who's the name of that big chicken on Looney Tunes?" "Oh, Foghorn Dickhorn." So they go on as basically about that he instead of leg, he uses dick.
Yeah, I got it.
Like he says, "Hey, who's that detective from the comics? You know, has it talks into his watch?" "Oh yeah, Leg Tracy."
Right.
I ruined the skit, but oh my god, I was
No. I've got it. These guys, they're hilarious, and this story has three of their videos linked at the bottom. So when we're done, I'm gonna watch all three.
Okay.
But Apatow. I'm a fan, you know. The more I see of his stuff, the more I like it. So,
it still burns me that Freaks and Geeks was only given a season. But go on.
But that's it. So it looks like they're gonna work on a project together, and hopefully we'll get to see that. It won't fall apart somewhere along the way.
Okay, I got fanboy news.
Okay, what do you got?
And you might, I don't know, there might be some fans that will say Nerdgasm might be appropriate for this one. Okay, so Marvel is going full steam ahead with getting more shows on. So normally, I personally would think that ABC being owned by Disney, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doing well, that they could put more shows on ABC, or, you know, like there could be a show on ABC Family, or, you know, they got a million channels that they could put shows on. But no, Marvel is planning four separate television series for 2015. And where are you going to be able to watch this? You're going to be able to watch it on Netflix, of all places. So if you're concerned about Netflix starting to have more original programming, well, now they're going to have four shows for Marvel. So if you're asking, are they going to be animated or live action? They're all going to be live action. And the four series are going to be about, the first one's going to be about Daredevil. Second one's going to be about Iron Fist. So just Iron Fist. Third one's just going to be about Luke Cage. And then the fourth one's going to be about character Jessica Jones, which I've never heard of.
Okay. Now, which is kind of weird because, okay, you have Okay, Daredevil, I understand. Iron Fist, I understand. Okay. Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are a couple. Why are they getting their own shows? I mean, is this going to be like way back early continuity before they hooked up, before they knew each other at all, and their end game is to bring them together? Maybe. We'll see what happens there. I did fangasm when you sent me the email about this. I'm like, oh my god, yes.
Well, they are going to have a mini series at the conclusion, because I guess that each of these shows is going to be a 15 episode run, which you're going to be able to gorge on because they're going to release all 15, kind of like they did with Orange is the New Black.
Right.
But they, there is a mention that they're going to have a big miniseries event titled The Defenders.
Okay. Yeah. I did see that. And now, yeah, those I think all of those people have been Defenders at one point or another.
Yeah, but, you know, what's funny is The Defenders is one of the few comic books I actually read, and I don't remember seeing any of those people in The Defenders.
It depends on when you read it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that goes with anything. But
I mean, because I followed Guardians of the Galaxy for a while, and when they said Rocket Raccoon is going to be in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I said, what? Rocket Raccoon's not in the Guardians of the Galaxy. Said, no, he wasn't.
Yeah, so exciting news.
Yes, very.
So, and I guess Jessica Jones is going to be more of a, from what I understand, a detective show.
I can see that.
It's funny how, you know, she was called Alias.
Yeah.
I guess she started out as Alias, or maybe, you know. So, yeah, we will, and they have announced for Daredevil that Drew Goddard, speaking of Joss Whedon, I think Goddard worked on Buffy and Angel. He wrote and directed Cabin in the Woods, so we know he does good work, but he is going to showrun Daredevil. No announcement on who's going to play Daredevil, but we will we'll have to see what we see. And that's all I got for news.
It would be interesting if they could get, like, would they try and get Ben Affleck? Do you think they could get Ben Affleck? You know, is that too much? Would he be willing to do something like that?
I don't think he wants to. I don't think that's Marvel style.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, part of the reason that Joss ended up doing the Avengers is because they didn't want to pay Favreau. So I can't see, and, you know, our world's going to collide if Affleck is flipping between Batman, Daredevil, Batman.
Right.
And,
yeah, I hear you.
There's a non-compete in somewhere in that contract.
Right. Yeah, maybe. But, you know, look at Ryan Reynolds. He bounced around a little. You know, look, they're talking about the actress who played Sif in Thor moving to do Wonder Woman, you know. True. And as far as, you know, seeing Affleck as like a big get, look at Spacey doing House of Cards.
True.
You know, no, he's not as big, but that's a pretty big name to lock down for something like that.
Interesting. Yeah, so we'll have to see.
Yes, very much so. Okay, so shall we wrap this up and keep it short for Lena to work with?
Yes, we're recording on a Thursday, so Lena's got her work cut out for her. No pun intended.
Yes, she does.
So, everyone, thank you for listening. Art, thank you for joining us. Us being me.
Yes.
I'm still thinking Lena's here in some capacity. So,
she's here in
Lena,
spirit.
Lena, we miss you, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you next week. And Art, you have a good weekend, and we will catch you next week. So thank you everyone for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Yes, everybody go watch a movie. Good night.